Today's reading is in John chapter 9, starting in verse 18. John 9, verse 18. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. So you recall from our last reading that Jesus had found this man that was blind from birth, and he was asked the question, who sinned, this man or his parents? And he said it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And he proceeds to heal this man of this blindness that he's had from birth. It's not a case that in which he was temporarily blind. He was blind from birth, and he's an adult at this point. So we're talking about decades that he has been blind. He has never been able to see before. And so we had ended our last reading with the Pharisees bringing the man who had been formerly blind and asking him how he had received his sight. And he told him in verse 15, he put mud on my eyes, I washed, and I see. And so the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. So we picked up in verse 18 with them calling in the parents and then the man that had been born blind again. So they're undertaking this investigation. They want to know about his healing, and I get the impression that what they're really looking for is a way to accuse Jesus. There has to be some way that either this is a farce or Jesus did something that was unlawful, and so they could make an accusation. But notice in there that it stated that they had already decided that anyone who confesses Jesus as the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. So they're already biased, you know that. They're not looking for truth. They're looking for loopholes and reasons to not believe and reasons to get the public to not believe in Jesus. So again, keep that in your mind that they're already biased. They've already made up their minds and they're already willing to put anybody out that is confessing Jesus as the Christ. You also see that the parents don't really want to make a commitment either. They really just kind of want to stay out of it because, well, they don't want to be put out of the synagogue. That was a big deal to a Jew. To get put out of the synagogue was a really big deal. It would mean more than just not being able to go there to hear the reading of the law. It meant being ostracized by your countrymen. So, just keep that in mind that it really is a big deal, but still, they ought to be able to identify the truth the way their son does. So they're only willing to state, we know that this is our son, we know that he was born blind, But how he now sees, we don't know. You need to ask him. You know, he'll talk for himself. He's of age. He's not a child anymore. And I think they're saying we're not responsible for what he says or what he does. So they feared the Jews, and they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. And so they're telling him he is of age. So they go and they call this man again. Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. They're trying to influence his testimony. They're trying to phrase this in such a way that the man would be afraid to say that Jesus had to be the Christ or a prophet or even sent by God. They state there, for we know this man is a sinner. Now, this man shows more fortitude than his parents did because he's not willing to shrink back from what he logically deduces about Jesus. So, first of all, they bring him back and they start questioning him again. And he says, you know, are you wanting to be his disciples? And either he's thinking that's the only reason you want to know more, or he's kind of pushing back against them because he knows that they're not really seeking the truth. Now, they had stated, we know this man is a sinner. And in verse 33, the man born blind says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. That's his logical deduction. That's his understanding, and it was a true understanding from what they'd been taught from the old law, the law of Moses. So he says, your position to call him a sinner is ridiculous because you can see what has been done. This man knows what's been done for him, and he's not going to deny what's been done for him. In verse 34, this ties back to that question that his disciples asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? They say, you were born in utter sin and you would teach us. In other words, you were blind, so there must be something bad about you, and yet you think that you know better than we know. That's what they're trying to say. So if they can't get him to pull back his testimony, then they're going to attack him, and they're going to make him look bad to other people so that others will not listen to him. When somebody has their mind closed to the truth, or they've already decided things, then they're not going to be able to see the truth because it's like putting blinders on. It's funny that this man was born physically blind and now he can see. And these Pharisees here have been born physically able to see, but spiritually they're blind here. They're completely blind and they cannot see the truth that is right in front of them. The only reason someone accepts Jesus and accepts the gospel that he brings and the hope of forgiveness is because at some point their minds were open to that possibility. They were open to the truth. They wanted to hear the truth, wanted to find the truth, even if that truth was difficult, even if it was hard to swallow that, hey, I'm a sinner and the wages of sin is death, and I don't really want to die, and Jesus offers life, so I'm going to listen. I'm going to pay attention. The task that then falls upon us is, are we going to continue to keep an open mind? Or if somewhere along the way, have we begun to close our mind? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says, test everything and hold fast to what is good. Don't close your mind to the truth, but test things so that you can discern what is the truth. And then when you find it, then you hold fast because it's good. That's what we are called to do. So perhaps today we should be in prayer that we have a heart that wants the truth, that desires the truth, that wants to accept the truth, even if it might be difficult for us, even if it means I might have been wrong. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.